You might like to open your Bibles. That's a starting point. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23. In the history of the world, the history of humanity, history has chosen Genesis 6, the Genesis flood, the people rebelled except for Noah and his family. Abraham, people rebelled except for Abraham, thereabouts, a few others. And they rebelled. So God raised up Israel. And Israel was to be a light, a testimony to all the nations. So all the nations are there. And history has prodded along to where we are now, into the future. Israel is the key for the nations of the world, not the church. Israel marks where things are going. So now, because we're in a day of grace, filling in a little gap in the light of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now, here's Israel. When Israel is high and with it, they honor the living and only God. So all the world can see is Jerusalem, Israel, smack dab in the middle of the world, literally. Now, and when Israel goes down, all the world gets another lesson. When you trust God, Israel's going to show you the benefits. When you don't trust God, Israel is going to show you what happens. And that's what's happening in Jeremiah into today. The world looks. Israel is the mocked nation of all nations, generally speaking, all major nations, that Israel is a key problem. And they all know Israel is not like them, and Israel has to go. So, what am I looking at? Well, we're looking at Jeremiah, and God is bringing Israel to its end in the days by way of Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC. And Israel, as a nation, as such, ceases. And the times of the Gentiles begins. But Israel is there, always there. Now, so we want to learn a little all the time in the light of Israel and its downfall. Now, God, why would you have such a major player on the playing field like Israel and let him fall down and not be able to score a point? Why would you let that happen? How could you let it happen? Now, therefore, here's Jeremiah picking up if I can. God, you're going to help us. I am, said God. Now, so therefore, in Jeremiah chapter 21 and 22, what do we learn? We learned about the kings. God is telling us as we wind down in Jeremiah, he's telling us why the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. All the kings failed. Last four went downhill, down, 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 down. All the kings. That's chapter 21 and 22. When it came to the leadership failed, chapter 23. The pastors, leaders, shepherds, they failed. So now, and then God, and the last king, there's no more king going to be after Jehoiakim. There's going to be no more kings of Israel, of Judah, until the Lord comes. So now, so a very sad time, if you were going to look at it. And in the light of that, Israel is going to be in captivity. And God is telling you why. The kings fail, leadership fails, and you're going to come. So God, how are you going to encourage? And he does. He says, do you understand what I'm doing? And that's why we take time to read and to understand Because God took time to record it. So we know what to do. What do we do in this kind of situation, setting? So God, we shared together in Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, that the Lord is the righteous king, and he's the righteous branch, and he is the king. So when it looks like you're going to have no king until the king, are you going to break your promise to David? Never, never. I promised David his seed should reign. What are you? What was the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the Son of David in his humanity. He's going to reign. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Well, but not now. No, not now. But he's going to do it. So no matter what you see and feel and fear, don't. Back off, back down, rest a minute. Because the righteous king, the righteous branch, and personally, you're going to understand what? In the midst of all the stuff that happens, and happens to everything, everyone, we have in Jeremiah 23, verse 6, when we come to the end, I'll read the verse, I guess, in these his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. So God, you're the right one to be the right person in the right place at the right time. Uh-huh. And by the way, I am your righteousness. So here's all the wrongness everywhere. And he's the right one. For who? For you. He said, I am your righteousness. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust the system. Don't trust anything. Trust me. I am your righteousness. And we did all that together because it very personal to us because of Christ, our righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30, etc. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and so therefore, here's the kings, and God, you encourage them, and then we go, as we go to verse 7, and in the light of that, in the light of verse 7, and you need to, I'll read it. Therefore, behold, in the light, he's our righteousness, the king is going to reign. In the meantime, the Lord is going to provide righteousness so that you can be right with God in a wrong world. Verse 7, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. So the day is going to come that people are going to have a whole different view about Israel. Now, you need to remember, just to refresh your mind to get the impact of this afresh, go back with me, please, to Exodus. Exodus in chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14, may I pick up, please, the movement? Remember, they're going to cross the Red Sea. And in verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. Remember, they're surrounded. They got the dead Red Sea in front of them, Red Sea. Then they got the mountains on the other side. They can't go that way. There's over 2 million people. You can't go that way. And then the only way you came, it's all blocked with the Egyptian army coming. You can't go that way. So now, and Moses said, verse 13, unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today, not tomorrow, today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, and here they are coming, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and thy stretch forth thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden their hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, and upon the chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know, what are they going to know? That I am the Lord, which have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, and his chariots, and his horsemen, etc. Now, and verse 19, the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before them, their face, and stood behind them. And God went, and as you know, God had them stop the Egyptians, big wall. Egyptians couldn't get through. God opened the Red Sea, 4.5 miles approximately, I think, 4.5 miles, Red Sea. And he opened that up, big pathway. So here's two walls. Here's the wall stopping the Egyptians. Here are the two walls of water. And here is plenty of room for them to cross all night across the great Red Sea over to Mount Sinai. And they did that. Now, that was an awesome thing. Did everyone know it? Everyone knows it. I think there's accounts in the Incas and Mayans and Aztecs or whatever one it was about it. Does everyone know? Everyone knows. How could you not know back then? It was phenomenal. Hang on. Now, over if you would to Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 4, Joshua chapter 4, picking up, please. If I can, in verse 21. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Remember, the stones were taken out of Jordan and piled up in Gilgal so that they would know, have a testimony of how they crossed the Jordan River. The same as they crossed the Red Sea. Verse 22, Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, and which he did dry up from before us until we were gone over, which he did. Verse 24, what for? You already know. That all the world, all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that we might fear the Lord our God, your God, forever. Now, so God, what did you do? I made it so that everyone would have to take note. I didn't do a little secret little channel. I made it very public, very dynamic. You couldn't miss it. It's impossible. I did the impossible so you would never forget. Now, hang on. Now, back over. Back over, if you would. Now, that's, and back over to it. And so, back over to Jeremiah. Now, in the light of that, so take note, verse 7, God said, should they have known that? Do you know what? Israel had forgotten the power of God, the wonderment of God, how they got there. So now at this point, as they come to the end of Jerusalem and Nebuchadnezzar coming in, they don't have a sense of God, of his power. So God, they lost it. But anyone that pays attention and reads said, wow, but who's asking about how we got across the Jordan? Who's asking how we got across the Red Sea? It doesn't matter to us. It doesn't matter. Now, therefore, as you read, you come to verse 8. But, God said. Now, everyone, if anyone's going to talk about anything of greatness, the great miracle of the Old Testament, it's crossing the Red Sea and the Jordan. But they aren't going to talk about that. They aren't talking about it, but something else is going to be talked about. They're going to forget all about all that great miracle. It doesn't major miracle in the Old Testament. Now, it isn't going to be about that. Nope. I got other things in mind. Verse 8. But the Lord liveth, which brought up, and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, scattered them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Now God said, do you know it was a marvelous thing back then and in the days and in the process. Now, and you have to remember now when you're looking, here's 400, when Jacob went into the land, Egypt, Pharaoh, Joseph, there's 430 years. And then the Exodus and crossing the Red Sea, the dynamic, to pay attention. Now God, here we are, 2,600 years since Nebuchadnezzar leveled the city. 2,600 years plus a little more coming up. God said, you haven't seen what I'm going to do. Crossing the Red Sea will look like nothing. I'm going to do something awesome with you. This is with Israel. So Israel, don't look back and say that they weren't looking back at the Red Sea and God's grace and power. They're to look ahead. Chapter 23, 5 and 6. The king is going to reign in righteousness, and all of the wonderful things are going to happen, and I'm going to go do something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful that will make the whole world take note. They took note when I opened the Red Sea. They're going to take note again, only this time in a whole different world, in a way that they never understood. Never could believe it. After 2,600 plus years, we got to finish the age of grace, 7 years of tribulation, and then. Now, so here we are looking, if we can, and God, you're going to do an awesome, awesome thing. I am. And I want you to know the little secret words. They're not secret. They're right there. In chapter 23, picking up, please, in verse 7. And I want you to note, right in the middle of the statement, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, that brought up. Now, that's a way of swearing, oath, giving an oath. It's a way of saying, God liveth. He's our God. It's a way of, to pronounce, to make clear, to show forth God's one and give God glory. The Lord liveth. Now, that's what they're going to say. God's the one that helped us cross the Red Sea. Verse 8. Now, how is the next event going to happen? Well, verse 8, but the Lord liveth, which brought up. You're going to say something totally wonderful, more wonderful than that. And you're going to say the Lord liveth, only this time it's all, boy, it isn't about the Red Sea this time. Nope, it's going to happen. Really? And God, you waited 430 years. Did you ever think Israel would ever have anything? No. But they did. And now we've got 2,600 years or so plus coming up. And 2,600 years, nothing's going to happen. Israel, who thinks anything's going to happen in Israel? Not even the evangelical church believes that anymore. Wow. Nothing's going to happen. After all this, come on. What could ever happen? Ah. Now, having said that a little bit, over to Deuteronomy chapter 30 for a moment. Deuteronomy in chapter 30. And Remember, the Lord liveth, the adjective, the Lord lives, has power, 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 the power of life, a living one, having life, life, power, endurance, energy, vigor, life, full of life. God's full of life, you bet. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 30, you have the little word we're looking at. We want to look at it. We want to see it. And you'll see the helpful in a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 30, in verse 15. See, I have sent before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Each time we're going to look at the word life. It's the same living. He's the living as the Lord liveth. He's living. He's the living one. That's right. Now, sliding down if I can, and going down to verse 19. I call heaven and earth to bear record this day, earth, to record this day against you that I have set before you life, there's your word, and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I'm telling you what to do. Choose life, that both thou and thy seed will live. Here's the cups of poison, and here's the good cup. I'm telling you the good cup. You don't have to guess which the good one. I'm going to tell you. This is the good cup. Choose life. Verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for reason, he is thy life. The Lord liveth. The living Lord, he is our life. A dead Lord? A powerless Lord? No, he's the living Lord. And you said that, you would say that when you understand I opened the Red Sea, and you're going to say that again. And that day you're going to say it. Now, picking up if I can, in the light of that, you're not far away, over to Joshua. What are they going to practice as a nation about this wonderful truth? Remember, the Lord said, practice life, not death. And so here in Joshua chapter 3, picking up if I can, in verse 10. And Joshua said, thereby you shall know that the living God is among us. Now, what's going to happen to Joshua as they cross? They're going to cross the Jordan? They're going to go into battle? They're going to discover who's among us. The living God is among us. God's here. God's here. That's what they're going to know. Boy, not he isn't here. He is here. Ah, now. And therefore, on our way to Jeremiah, a stop at Job. And in Job, chapter 19, maybe. Job chapter 19. And in Job chapter 19, Job, I'm listening. You're going through all kinds of difficulties, physically, etc. Yes, sir. But, 19 and 25. For I know that my Redeemer, there's your little word, liveth. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I know he liveth. Now, Job, what kept you going? A living God is dealing with my heart. Not a no God, not a make-believe God, not a distant God. God is dealing with my heart. The living and only God. I'm in his presence, and he's dealing with me. Hang on to that. Wow. Now, having said that, now I want you to have that little bit in mind, and I'm going to move historically through so you can get to chapter 23 and understand the Lord. That why did you say in 23 verse 8, the Lord liveth? You're going to say that in a whole new mood and way. Why did you say that? Because they didn't practice God's wonderful presence. The living God wasn't among them. Now, over to Jeremiah, and in chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. May I pick it up, please? I'll get the movement so you can get a little of it quickly. And in the light of that, may I go directly in the light of the context each time. Verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forgotten me. When they forget you, what? Remember, we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20, He is our life. He is our life. He is. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God gives you the gift of eternal life. Where is the eternal life? It's in His Son. He is your life. So what was Jerusalem and them, Judah, guilty of? They had forsaken the fountain of living, there's your word, waters, and hewed them out, cisterns, little things that ground in the ground to hold water, which never could hold water. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. So their whole attempt to try to replace God by anything and everything failed. Why? Because they had left life. And therefore, when you leave life, you're left with death. When you leave light, you're left with darkness. Now, chapter 4. Remember now, they left that. Now, chapter 4, and God is speaking to Jeremiah, and Israel is having to be exercised. And so back and forth in the relationship. Jeremiah chapter 4. If thou will return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou will put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shall thou, and thou, then shalt thou not remove, not be moved. Verse 2. Thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth. When you're honoring me and looking to me, you're going to know me, and you're going to say, what? That our God, my God, liveth. My God liveth. That's what? The Lord liveth. In truth. You're not going to, a whole lot of hypocritical words, oh, yeah, I believe, but it isn't true. There's nothing, no backing it up. No. Thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Now, God, they're going to do that. That's right. Verse 4. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doing. So they needed to do something, and if they did it, they would be able to say what? The Lord liveth for real. My God is a living God. No, but chapter 5. Verse 1, run to and fro, 1-2 and fro, through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof. In other words, go up and down the streets of the city. If you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh truth, and I will pardon it. I'm looking for somebody that cares. Verse 2, and though they say, what were they saying? The Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. They were using the Lord's name and a relationship they did not have. They didn't have it, but they said it. They weren't going to say Baal liveth. That was too obvious. They may worship Baal, but you wouldn't say that. Now, but God said it isn't true. What they're saying isn't true. It's not true what's coming out of their mouth. Hang on. Over to chapter 10. And in verse 10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. You are the God. You make it over and over again. They didn't honor your wonderful, wonderful person as they should. Chapter 16. And they're going to say what we just are going to read in chapter 23, chapter 16. And if I can, I'll picking up, please, in verse 9, little background. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, 16 and 9. Behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes, and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. In other words, you're going to be one sorry lot of people having no way to find any way of happiness. Now, therefore, God, that's the movement. Therefore, when you come to verse 14, God, you did it again. I did. Back then. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, there's your word, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. That's what you just said later. You're going to repeat. I'm repeating what I told you in chapter 23, verse 15. But the Lord liveth, there's your word, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither you had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave to their fathers. Now, God, you'd try to help them and be encouraged. They've got to look to let the thing out work, and God, you aren't going to disappear. You're going to do what you have to do. Chapter 17. And in verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because, what for? They have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. You can't leave God out. He's the living one. And without him, there's no life. There's no way to work anything out. So God, here we are, chapter 22. And in chapter 22, picking up, please, over, if I can, in verse 24. As I live, saith the Lord, though Koinonia, remember he's the last living king, not Zedekiah died ahead of him. As I live, saith the Lord, Koinonia, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee off. Now remember why? Because we shared that in our study, chapter 22, in that God is going to, Jehoiakim is the last king. He's the last, no more kings in Judah, no more kings of David until the Lord Jesus comes. And God said, am I going to do this? I am going to do this because the kings and the leadership and the ultimate coming up, the prophets and the priests, the whole thing has gone so bad. And the people love it so. Now, what do you do when it's that bad? What did you do in the days of Noah? I waited 120 years. What did you prove? They did evil continually, without ceasing, without ever caring. They just increased evil. That's what they did. What do we know, God, if you don't go in the tribulation? If I don't stop it at 7 years, there won't be any elect. They'll all be bad if I don't stop it. There'll be no one left. Wow. Now, so here we are looking, if we can, and in the process. So here's Exodus. Exodus, God, and here's all the kings, etc., and the kings, the rulers in the days of Jeremiah and Zedekiah and them, they are going to be rejectful. They are not looking to God, and the world is going to look, and the world is going to see. The world is going to see Israel, and as we just said, 2,600 years gone by so far. And what is there any hope for Israel? Is there any interest in Israel? Is there any interest among the Jews? Here's the Orthodox Jews trying to have prepare for a temple to be built. But do they understand what's involved? But they're preparing now. So some of them are conscious of it. A little bit. Now, therefore, if you would, over to O to catch this in the time. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Now, the Lord liveth, and God, you're going to do wonder of wonders, I am. And picking up, I can, in Isaiah 43, verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, for everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I am going to do something awesome. I'm going to go, and I'm going to have my angels go and take every Jew all over the world and bring them just like that to Jerusalem. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Do you think? Are you impressed? Are they? No. When it happens, are you going to be impressed? Are they going to be impressed? You betcha. And they get judged first before the nations do, so the nations are going to be able to look. Wow. Now, having said that, a little bit, and you got the flavor of it anyway, at least a little. Over now, over in Jeremiah chapter 32. Lovely section. God, here it is, easy. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to scatter them. And remember, we shared together in 69, 70 AD, Titus came in and scattered, leveled Jerusalem flat. And sent the Jews scattering all over the place, the ones that survived. Wow. Like never before. Wow. So now, God, here we are looking. What are you going to do? Chapter 32, verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them. Then, in my anger, they don't have to go by aeroplane or have a special ticket. Whether I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in my great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them in the land, assuredly, with my whole heart, with my whole soul. I'm going to do that. Now, that's the only place God says it like that. God said, I'm going to give my whole being to do this. I got to tell you, I'm going to give my whole being to do this. Verse 42. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Wow. God said, now, you're never going to speak about Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, because that'll be so nothing compared to what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do. You'll talk about that. And thus, if you read Zephaniah, the last chapter in that, and what are all the nations going to do? They're going to come to this band in this holy city where the pots and the dishes and the glasses are all holy. And they're going to come to take one Jew by his garment as he goes to Jerusalem to be blessed. 10 Gentiles will grab on to the coat of one Jew to be blessed. Well, because the Jews, I did it for the Jews. Is anyone in the millennium going to know? Everyone's going to know. Everyone's going to know about the Jews. I am. It's an awesome thing I'm going to do. Now, because I live, they live. And because it's all going to work out, and therefore, Jeremiah, I am your righteousness, and I know you're going to be heartbroken about this, and I know it's a horrible thing for you to see that I say one thing and the prophets and priests say another thing, but hang on, that you're going to hear that. You hear that all over the place, the world. People are aggressively, persistently pursuing a cause. And it doesn't matter whether it's good or evil. It's just not, as long as we avoid and don't get something, I'll say it a different way. As long as God stay out of our lives, your word, your work, your worth, stay out of our lives for real. We don't mind being religious. We'll be religious up to our eyeballs. But stay out of our life. That's the idea. Wow. Now, therefore, in closing, if I can, 100 places to close. Where to go? Over to Colossians. So what are we to understand? We're to understand we serve the living and only God. That's right. The living God. The living. As the Lord liveth. He lives. Doesn't he? Or doesn't he? If you went up and down and thought about it, how much were you aware today that you were in the presence of the living God? How much today were you aware that you were in the presence of the living God? That's why people say that as the Lord liveth, because he lives. But if he's sort of distant or we aren't paying attention, then we don't know that. So therefore, here's Colossians. And in Colossians, as you would know, in Colossians chapter 1, picking up if I can, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, in the great prayer, God who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, verse 13, and transplanted us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Wow. Now, that's one thing, to be put into the kingdom of his dear Son. Then you slide over to another awesome thing, verse 27, to whom a mystery, never even considered by the Old Testament people, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Well, what is that? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yep. Not only have you been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, but he, the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and you house him. And without taking time to read, 2 Corinthians 6:16, you are the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. Wow. Go on. The living God. Uh-huh. The living God. That's what it says. The living God. Now, so therefore, chapter 3, verse 3, for you are dead, and your what? Your life is where? Hid with Christ in God. So that's where your life is. So it isn't in your heartbeat. It isn't in your breathing. No, it isn't in your brain working to give you a self-consciousness. No, where is it? It's in the wonderful person of God, in the person of Christ. Therefore, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. So God, What are we to be conscious of? What was Jeremiah to be conscious of? God, you do wonderful things. Without getting into it, just to spark the thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, John chapter 17, verse 22, I give you my, do you remember? Glory. I give you my glory. That's here. But I can't wait, verse 24, for you to be with me to see my glory. I can't wait for you to get here. But this glory, well, it doesn't look very glorious. Where do you get there? Where do you get there?